This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And happy glorious Tuesday to you all here on 96.5 The Fan. 2 days away from Thanksgiving, 1 day away from a 4-day weekend. Really excited for all of that, and excited to get this show going today for all of you as we just continue to grind through this season. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all with you on this wonderful, chilly Tuesday morning. Boy, is winter here. Frost on the car, frost on my nose.
25 degrees this morning when I woke up. That sucks. I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
Or ever, quite honestly, but whatever.
I was going to say, when are you ever prepared?
You're not. Yeah. You're not. You're not ready for 110.
Boy, I'm not ready for this weather. What do you mean?
You know, I was thinking like driving into work today, people always say, boy, I can't believe it's already Thanksgiving time. And I'm like, it happens this time every year. Like literally nothing ever moves faster than what it is. But I mean, we're 13 weeks now. And we're starting week 13 of the NFL this week. And that tells you quickly how fast this season has gone. College football's wrapping up this week with their regular season and get ready for their championship games in a week. So, I mean, it is going really, really fast. And judging by last night, if you were watching a little bit, is it all right to use the term fraud with the Chargers? I mean, is it okay that I say that the Chargers are a little bit of a fraud out there last night from a defensive standpoint? I was told their defense is so good, so good, so good. And they gave up 30 some points last night. That didn't look exactly as everybody was telling me over the last couple of weeks about the Chargers defense.
I would say that's a little bit of an egregious take. I think teams are allowed to have bad games. I mean, the Chiefs have given them almost 30 points in the last 2 weeks. And we were all told that defense was the best defense in football.
Man, not by the national people. They were told by us. But like the national people have been on this Chargers thing. The game starts last night, and I'm watching the pregame show, and they're talking about this great defensive coordinator for the Chargers. I've heard about this guy now, and I don't know what his name is, quite frankly, because it escapes me now.
I think it's Jesse Minter.
Minter, that's right. Because his dad, Rick Minter, they were showing before the game. This is the last, you know, the last couple of weeks, he's been the new rising star in the NFL. This is going to be the next coach. He's going to be the next great this one, the next great that one. Oh, my God, look how great the Chargers defense is playing. And then last night they had an opportunity to step it up and keep the AFC West a little bit close, and they chose not to do that last night. So it's just the cyclical nature of the NFL where somebody has a good game and we're celebrating this great coach, and then you have an opportunity on the national stage last night. And I don't know. I didn't see anything spectacular out of that Charger defense last night. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking one game and judging a guy's entire resume on it when his resume is so far this year he's allowed 10 points, 3 points, 10 points, 10 points. Let's see here. 16, 8, 10, 17, 27, and then last night was the most they've given up all year in 30 to a team that has probably one of the best offenses in football with the best running back behind Saquon Barkley. Please go to silent mode. And Lamar Jackson, who's a two-time MVP, could be a third-time MVP, 30 points. Chiefs give up 30 points back-to-back weeks. I'm not judging this defense on one game. That's a tough game they lose. I'm all for it. I mean, I don't think Baltimore is really a threat for the number one seed, so that was irrelevant. Keep your distance in the AFC West. Yep. That's what's most important. But that team will be here in 2 weeks, and we'll see that defense no matter what, which I believe that defense only gave up 17 points to the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think
that was also the game where Rashee Rice got hurt, right? Right at the beginning of the game, right? It was the Charger game, and that kind of, you know, juxtapositioned the entire game plan, I would imagine, that day. So I'll be interested to see. I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to go out there and pace 30 or 40 on, you know, this Charger team, but I was expecting more, I guess, last night out of the Chargers. I finally gave them that opportunity where I was going to sit down and really, like, embrace the scene if this team was good. And it didn't win me over. I mean, like, it's just another NFL team, right? I mean, we are here. Buffalo is here. And everybody else is here. You know, it's just like, to me, I'm like, I was waiting for something last night, I guess. And it just never really truly hit me last night with them.
Yeah. I think last night, what you're kind of getting at is what I got at, which is I think we know the pecking order for the AFC. I think it's official now. It's the Chiefs, the Bills, and Baltimore.
Yeah.
I think those are your three big teams. I think there's a sizable gap. And then I think the Chargers are still good, but I think they're in that mold of other teams that are just good, right? Like, if you're using that mentality on the Chargers last night, I could do the Bob Fesco myself and be like, yeah, I watched Pittsburgh play Cleveland and lose. Sure. Didn't see anything impressive. They don't do it for me. They're out.
Yeah.
But I think Pittsburgh, Houston, Chargers, and then Denver and Miami, I think are kind of like the same team who will battle for that seed. But I mean, out of all those teams, I think we knew this going into the year, except there's only one thing missing, and that's Cincinnati. They can still kind of get in. They got to play perfect. But we knew this before the season with the big three, but now it's official and the race is on, at least in my opinion, when it comes to the Chargers, the Houston, Texans, Steelers, Denver, Miami. But it's set up for what it is. It's Mahomes versus Josh Allen and Lamarvelous, AK. You've got your regular season MVPs versus your postseason MVP.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to think about that because here we are year after year after year, like it was in the past when it was Peyton, it was Brady, and it was insert another name, Flacco or Roethlisberger. And that's exactly where we are this model, except now it's Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar, and who's going to play Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship
game? Well, this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that these are the teams standing right now at this point in the season because they have the best quarterbacks. And in the NFL, if you have the best quarterbacks, you have the best opportunity to win these games. We're not breaking down the atom here by saying anything like that. And so, barring some sort of catastrophic collapse or injury or something like that to one of these quarterbacks or any good quarterback, quite frankly, your team should be around for the postseason. You should be alive for the playoffs. And it's all predicated on who that quarterback is. It's the most important position in sports. And Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are head and shoulders better than everybody else out there. And I'm a Lamar fan. He's probably third on that tier. And that's just not in the AFC. That's in the entire NFL, in my opinion, right now. And I've said for many years now, I think the NFL has a major quarterback problem. And yesterday with Daniel Jones, you know, finally clearing waivers and choosing not to sign with the Raiders because there's like 10 other teams waiting for this guy. I mean, it really shows you what kind of quarterback problem is in the NFL right now. And the Chiefs and the Bills and I would say Baltimore as well are so head and shoulders above everybody else when it comes to the most important position. They should be the three best teams in the AFC. And then you look at the NFC and, you know, Goff is good, whether you want to believe that or not. I mean, he's a legit quarterback. Jalen Hurts is playing great with a great running back right now. So if you don't have that quarterback position figured out, you just don't stand a chance in this league right now. And we and Buffalo and Baltimore are so much better at the quarterback position than anybody else. It's not a surprise that those are the top three teams right now running away with this AFC.
There were some people arguing yesterday on Twitter about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
About?
Who the better quarterback was.
Okay.
Right. And I saw this stat, and it was a back and forth, and one of them's one of the guys I'm close with on Twitter, but the stat comes out, and this is from Jason Reed, and he puts this up. He says, the guy in KC's an all-time great. The guy in Buffalo is a really, really good quarterback, especially in the regular season. Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL postseason where it has at least the fourth quarter, or it's been at least the fourth quarter. There was under a minute left to play, and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer in that stat. These are your standard clutch moments that they call. This has been around for
a little bit. So your clutch moment is down 7 with a minute to go.
Correct.
I guess that is clutch, right?
That's what he calls it. Yeah. The do or die drives that win and lose critical games. Out of those 125, only 40% of them saw the team on offense pull off the magic trick and get the points they needed.
I'm surprised it's that high, quite honestly.
Some quarterbacks are pretty good at it, right? Brady's 5 for 11, 46%. Drew Brees is 3 for 6, 50%. That's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, you want to guess what he is?
He's perfect. He's 100%.
7 for 7.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 100%.
Josh Allen has 21 regular season game-winning drives, 0 postseason game-winning drives.
Yeah.
Whereas Patrick Mahomes has 20 regular season game-winning drives, 6 in the postseason. Yeah, from How About Those Chiefs on Twitter.
Is it 20 or is it 21 now after that game? Either way, it's an amazing number that Patrick Mahomes
has
done.
It's the 6 versus the 0 that sticks out to me.
To me, that's why Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback than Josh Allen. It has nothing to do with anything. He's a winner. He knows how to win. He knows how to lead his team down in the direst of straits and find a way to pull a victory out from nowhere. And that's why Patrick Mahomes is better. I don't need any other stat. I don't need any other metric. I don't need any other anything. Patrick Mahomes is a GD winner, and there's just no other way to put it. And when the situation is tense, when the situation is tight, he's relaxed and he moves his team down the field 7 for 7, under a minute, down by a touchdown, game-winning drives. That is something that's something special, man. That is rarefied air that even Tom Brady, as you read, can't even touch Patrick Mahomes in those situations.
Against what you would consider the best quarterbacks in the league. He's doing it.
Yeah,
Josh Allen,
Lamar Jackson,
Joe Burrow. Burrow did it to him one time,
right?
But it makes you think, who's the surprise team this year out of that bubble group, right? It's been the Bills 3 times. One time that was in the AFC Championship game. It's been the Colts. Mm-hmm. It's been the Browns. It's been the Texans. It's been the Jags. And then it's those teams before the AFC Championship game. Somebody's come to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Is it Chargers, Houston, Pittsburgh, Denver, Miami?
I think it's, look, if I'm a betting man right now, I would say that 7-2 game, I'd love to see them upset Buffalo, but I'm thinking it's probably either going to be Houston or Pittsburgh that comes in here.
That 5-4 matchup.
That 5-4 matchup is going to come here to Kansas City. Whether it's Houston, whether it's Pittsburgh, I think they'll end up here in Kansas City, and then somebody will complain that the Chiefs have too easy of an route to the AFC Championship game again, because Houston and Pittsburgh, I would imagine out of those teams that we have listed there, those are the two teams I would like to play versus, I don't know, Denver, I'm just whatever, man. They scare the hell out of me. And then the Chargers, it's a team that, I'm not bought into, but I just don't want to see them in the playoffs because they're a division rival, and you see a team 3 times, it's not always good for you. So right. I think the winner of that Pittsburgh-Houston game is the one that's coming here. I hope that's the one that is coming here for that AFC divisional playoff.
It's Buffalo-KC AFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you had to put your money on it right now, it's happening again.
I mean, what else would tell you otherwise?
Not much. See, like, what they look like after a bye.
Yeah, but what's your body of work like? Again, a biggest Lamar fan, biggest Mike Tomlin fan on the face of the earth, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think those teams are going to end up here, and I'd be upset if one of those teams ended up here. I think everybody wants to see this Buffalo-Kansas City matchup yet again because of how compelling and awesome they have been,
Was it like every year? I can't remember because I wasn't really diving in that much, but was it like every year in the AFC, like in the 2000s, where it's like, so it's Peyton and Tom again?
No, it wasn't. Like, revisionist history makes it feel like
it is
was.
Today.
Yeah,
it played 5 times in the playoffs. That's it.
Yeah.
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years. That's not a lot,
no.
But it felt like it was every
Mahomes
year.
Now I've already played 3 times.
Exactly. Yeah,
and 7,
probably
yeah.
will
in
play a 4
years.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
A fourth time this year. Right. So no, but you think that's the way it was? Roethlisberger, Flacco, the Jets had an opportunity for a couple of years with Sanchez. As their quarterback, like it wasn't as, I don't want to use the term top heavy, because it was. You had New England and you had Indy in there all the time, but some years they lost. Denver then became a team when Peyton Manning, took over them, and it wasn't the Colts anymore. And so, I think at one point the Chiefs had an opportunity to meet the New England Patriots in the postseason. So there's been scattered teams all around. It feels like it was always Manning, and it feels like it was always Tom Brady. But as Mac just mentioned, in 20 years, they only played 5 times, which means 15 years they didn't play in the postseason. Seems like it's the other way around.
Coming up on the other side, there's a word that keeps getting used with this Chiefs team. I heard it all day yesterday, and I'm starting to hear it more again today. You'll talk about it on the other side, or I will, and Bob will, and Mac will, on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. In about an hour, we'll have Danan Hughes, Chiefs color commentator with Mitch Holthus, as they were in Carolina to watch that game, and he'll be able to elaborate on the question that we currently keep. I don't know. We just keep hearing this word, bored.
I was listening to our sister station yesterday. Boomer Esiason out of nowhere starts talking about how bored the Chiefs are.
I think the team's bored. I think like the Chiefs are bored. Like they got to wait till the game gets nut cutting time or gets into the playoffs, and all of a sudden they start playing at a different level.
Yeah, I mean there could be something to that, but you would think that they'd want things to be easier, right?
I don't know. It's like I think they get bored. I really, really think they get bored.
But that defense had no business giving up as many points to the Panthers as they did. That was pretty bad. They had no business doing that.
So that's Boomer Esiason and his co-host Gio on our sister station, WFAN. I've heard the boredom thing before. I subscribe a little bit to the boredom philosophy of the Chiefs because they know what really matters, and that is the postseason. But I don't think that game they were bored. I think that game they did want to go out there and mollywop the Carolina Panthers, and it just didn't work out for them. And I think based on what we heard after the game, I think we're going to see a team that maybe now for the rest of the regular season could quite honestly be more dialed in and quote unquote less bored than a lot of people are talking about. Because if they do find a way to dial in and focus and get moving, back in the right direction, if you will, then they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So bored may be leading up into that game. But I think as that game progressed and that game started to take shape, I don't think there was boredom. I think they were pissed after that game.
I'm like you. I don't believe this to be true that they're bored, but I'll listen to the theories because I think we're using the wrong word. I think is what we're using. Okay. I think experienced is more the word because no one's played more games than the Kansas City Chiefs in the last 3 years.
No doubt.
That is just a fact.
Right.
We know that for a fact.
Right.
They know the path. And if they didn't, they wouldn't be 10-1 on the brace of a three-peat, right? If they didn't know the path and have the experience, right? Like, your wife, do you think she's bored teaching? If she was, she'd hate her job.
I don't.
But she's done it so long and has it down that it might seem like she's bored. She gets her day ready. She gets her plan ready. She goes to school the same way. She gets into her room. She gets ready to do this. And it's like, you bored? It's like, no.
No.
I've just done this long enough and know how to do it that I know the rhythm and the way to go. Now, others, people see it being bored. We look at it as being easy.
Yeah, but I also look at my wife kind of as the Andy Reid of physical education teachers in Kansas City, because actually I was just texting her yesterday. I was at the J and I was watching the kids, in the school have their gym, class, and they were hitting this huge blow up like ball over the volleyball net. It wasn't a volleyball, but it was like one where you hit and would go left and right. It looked like a lot of fun. So I'm texting her, hey, here's another new innovation that you can use. And she's always looking for new. She's always looking for something different for the kids to participate in because she wants to keep it fresh and different and new and fun and exciting. And that's kind of what Andy Reid is trying to do with this team, trying to keep it new, trying to keep it innovative. Meanwhile, moving everybody in that right direction of still getting the job done and accomplishing what you need to accomplish. And so I don't think Andy Reid is bored. I think at times the players know what the end game is. And they know that this part of the season, what we call the regular season that I've dubbed the preseason for many years now, they understand it is a dress rehearsal to get them to where they want to go. They also know they have to do good in their dress rehearsal if they want to end up, on the big stage. And so they've got to perform well, which they are, right? But I also do think that at times they do make quote-unquote business decisions, if you will, and they may not, like, take a play off and not tackle somebody, but I think there are business decisions that get made with what they want to do in a game, plays they want to run, players they want to utilize, so they don't use everything to go win a regular season game when they could use a lot of that stuff and keep it in the bag until the postseason for when it really matters.
I think the people that watch this team are bored. And I think that's where they want to, and they get bored, so they take off on the word bored, and they're like, well, when it's boring, you're just kind of late, because they're not lazy. Like, the defense wasn't great Sunday. I'm admitting that.
Yeah.
Buffalo scored 30, And if you want to play bias homerisms, they got seven on a run that they basically let him score because they want to get the ball back to try to come back in that game as quickly as they possibly could with Patrick Mahomes, their quarterback. But, I mean, boredom, I don't think is the case. And I the analogy that I use with this is like a fierce predator and its prey. Like, there's times where, like, if you go look at, like, a lion on one of those, like, Planet Earth shows, right? They can go and get a hyena and toy with it. Like, they can trap it and do all this. But if they need to, they can kill that son of a gun as quickly as possible as they want. They're king of the jungle, right? This is the king. This team is the king of the league. They're not toying with teams, but how dare you demand the respect of us to give you, if you are a lesser of a team or a lesser of a prey for us, how dare they give you everything that they need to? Now, Buffalo probably got a little bit more than anybody else. Baltimore probably got a little bit more, but it was week one.
It was week one, so
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And when you look at Carolina, they didn't really get anything. The defense just kind of had, you know, some hiccups. They had a pass interference play in the end zone, questionable. A
lot of penalties.
A lot of penalties. And sloppy play led to the Predator having to come out, Patrick Mahomes, bust the 40-yard run, get the field goal made, get out of there, and show that. And then that's where the frustration kicks in.
It's almost like a parent telling your kid to do something 15 times. They don't do it. You just do it yourself, and you're ticked off about it, but you get the job done.
And so, like, people are thinking they're either bored or if there's concerns. And Jason Kelce was with Rich Eisen, and they talked about if he had any concerns with this Chiefs team.
I don't know that I'm ever concerned if Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are the coach, or Andy Reid's coach and Pat's the quarterback. They just have such a ability and a resiliency as a group. But, I mean, listen, it's a little bit concerning. I mean, the biggest thing that's been concerning recently over the last 2 weeks is that their defense has faltered for probably the first time in 2 years.
Yeah, they almost gave up 30 again.
I mean, he was the untold story in some ways of last year's success. You know, Pat Mahomes and Andy always get the credit, but that defense was really what allowed them to persevere through a lot of that stuff. And the last couple weeks, they've faltered a little bit. They're dealing with some injuries in the back end. There was all this noise that Spags wanted to add maybe somebody to that secondary during the trade deadline. So we'll see. I mean, again, they still find ways to win. And
if the game's ever close,
I'm like, if this is World Series of Poker, I'm all in on Patrick Mahomes. And the vast majority of these games are close, especially playoff games.
Well, you've been around. The key soundbite. They're winning close games in the regular season to show you all that when the playoffs happen and they need that final drive or they need to play a close game. Because, look, we've said this many, many times. In the regular season, you have the luxuriousness of just sitting back and be like, well, if we don't win this week, we always have next Sunday. Or we have next Saturday or Thursday or Friday. And they play every day except Tuesday, I think, this year. But the thing about that in the playoffs is that that internal clock is a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more louder, and you know when that alarm's going to go off when the playoffs hit. Because some people, like Mahomes, can just lean over and hit the snooze button on that playoff alarm and be like, we got 9 minutes, it's fine. Whereas that alarm goes off for other quarterbacks and other teams, and it's like, oh God, day's starting, okay, where's my outfit, I got to do this, got to do that, and it's like, by the time you look at that, the guy that's chill, cool, calm, and complex, already up 14 points on you.
So are you coming now over to my side about the blowout type of stuff then, where it really doesn't matter because winning close games is more important than blowing out opponents? I mean, it's kind of been my thing all along. You're not going to blow anybody out in the playoffs, right? It's very rare to see a blowout in the postseason because you're only talking about seven teams from each conference that make it, and they're all better than everybody else, and they're all closer to equal footing than anybody else below them. So you're not going to see blowouts in the postseason. You've got to learn how to win close games. Every single year, it's about winning close games. We talk about it with the spread all the time in the NFL. You're like, wow, a 7-point spread, that's big. Oh my gosh, my goodness, why is it such a big spread? And then you see the final, they win by 4, they win by 3, or whatever the case may be. You don't see a lot of blowouts. Can Detroit win a close game? I don't know the answer to that question, because I feel like, and again, this is perception and I could be totally wrong about that, but I feel the only close game that Detroit was in this year is the one that they ended up losing. What was it, to Minnesota?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay earlier in the year. They they won that close game against Minnesota.
Green Bay
right?
was close, I believe.
But can Detroit go in there when it's nut-cutting time and there's 13 seconds left? Can they lead themselves down the field and get themselves in the field goal range? I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that the Chiefs can, and that's been their MO all along. Go out there and win close games. When they were blowing teams out, they lost in the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady at Arrowhead Stadium, because sustaining the ability to blow teams out just doesn't work. You've got to learn how to win close games. And winning that game in Carolina is going to go a longer way than finding a way to beat Carolina 31-3. You may feel good about it. We may like it. Yay, we won by 27 points, 28 points. But at the end of the day, is that what's best for the team? And I think winning the game where they had to find a way again to pull out a victory over a Carolina team that they should have blown out, I think it's going to go a long way. And then you hear Jason Kelce talk about it as well. These close games build character, and they show you that when it gets to be 13 seconds left on the clock, you look at each other and you go, all right, let's go do this and let's go win this football game. So I've just never been a fan of winning every game by 30 points or 20 points or having these big blowouts. I don't mind winning close games because I think you learn more from them than you do by blowing somebody out.
I don't need every game to be a blowout, but I would like to blow out the Raiders and I would like to blow out the Chargers in back-to-back weeks and then sit back and be like, all right, you've blown your division away. Now you control the one seed still, and Detroit gets San Fran, L.A., and or the Bills get San Fran, L.A., and Detroit in the next three games.
Yes,
and
then San L.A., which L.A. team do they get?
Rams.
Rams, okay.
Which can be that surprising kind
they're
of like that.
Scatterbrain, man.
Well, they're also the most dangerous team in the NFC because they have a chance to be either in or out, and they have to win every game. And if they click, you could get blown out. Yeah. If it doesn't, they could get blown out.
The Rams are a weird team, man. I hate to try to figure them out because one week they look like they're going to just destroy you, and then the next week they lose, like, you know, 31-13. You're like, what happened to that team that I saw last week that was putting up points? So the Rams team is a scatterbrain team. I think the schedule looks a little bit easier now for Buffalo than we thought a couple of weeks ago. I don't think San Francisco's worth a damn. I'm not a huge fan of the Rams. And then obviously Detroit, which they will bill as is that a Sunday night game where they flex that one back to Sunday afternoon. They will bill that one as the potential Super Bowl preview. So get ready for that, folks.
I'm going to need you guys to be quiet. You need to lower your voices as we step into the library. It is another Tuesday. The Likens Library is always open at 6:30, been open for a minute and 30 seconds. Welcome to the library today, guys. I hope you're having a good day. We'll be closed Wednesday starting at 2 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Until next Tuesday at 6:30 a.m.
Gotcha. Thank you for letting me know.
Oh, so sorry. Gotcha. Inside voice, sir. Inside voice. You can laugh loud because it's cute.
Okay.
Thank you. Today's library is it's a book fair. Do you guys remember the book fair?
I love it. Scholastic book fair.
You're so loud in the library, sir.
I am going to be loud.
That's what she said. Mr. Fesco, Mr. Morey, welcome to the book fair. Remember those? Remember book fairs?
I love book fairs.
Had to con your parents in money?
Yes.
Like, they've got to get this book. It's $18.99. Comes with crowns.
And then you just get like a silly eraser.
And then never see it after 2 days. All right. In this year's book fair, we have a futures biography available. Mm. Which one would you like to take? Better future biography. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Bobby?
I've been thinking about this one.
Oh.
It's a good book option.
I'm going to have to say Josh Allen. You know, I think it's going to be Josh Allen when it's all said and done. Like, if there's somebody that's going to upset Mahomes and win a Super Bowl, not named Patrick Mahomes, I think it's Josh Allen.
Is there a better chapter in Josh Allen's book or to Lamar Jackson's book? Because he's got two dynamite chapters, but he's end sad.
Yeah, it's just terrible endings. I don't know, man.
Boy, like, that 13-second game is like the Red Wedding.
It really is, yeah. I mean, that may be one where you look back and that may be the closest Josh Allen ever comes. Or last year in Baltimore, the fumble at the goal line. You know, exactly. Like that may be the closest Baltimore ever comes. Yeah. I don't know. You had your opportunities. You didn't capitalize. A lot of times in life, you don't get another chance to have an opportunity like that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, give me Josh Allen. Okay. He'll be a top 10 QB of all time.
Future biography both checked out. You're going to have to split the time and bring it back in 4 days or you will be charged a late fee.
But if it is a book fair, we can each buy a copy of it.
Totally forgot the book fair. Better nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is going to be a heavily bought book on one sided, but I had to come up with two names. Andy Reid's message or Mike Tomlin's message.
I mean, I think Andy Reid will sell out here.
Yeah. I think, you know, it may sell out in Pittsburgh, too. They don't like Mike Tomlin for whatever reason there. So I'll go with Andy Reid, yeah.
I think Tomlin used to be a bestseller, but he's going up against,
He's going up against Andy Reid, but I mean, also Mike Tomlin is like the story of what life needs to be. Adversity, fighting through, and coming out on top every single year. But so is Andy Reid.
Sir.
So is Andy Reid.
I know you're excited. We're all excited. You got the first two copies of the Andy Reid message. But we don't need to let the people know at Target. We go to the sci-fi section. Which alien brother has the better story when it's all said and done? These guys are definitely aliens, by the way. Tom DeLonge needs to go hang out with the Harbaugh brothers. But Jim or John, who has a better story when it's all said and done?
Oh, it's Jim. And there's no question because of where he's been, what he's done, and he's got the Michigan story to tell that nobody really knows about. So I'm going with Jim.
I get you, and I think when it's all said and done, maybe. But right now, these books are still in, you know, got sequels on the way. I'm going to go John because that Lombardi, man, that speaks volumes. More than a natty.
Yeah, but Harbaugh ran arguably one of the greatest scandals in college football history with a guy on the sidelines giving signs and glasses and nose. Like, I mean, I need that. Lombardi that he won, that was 2012?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're Bovada, they thought that was last night. But but 2012, that's 12 years ago.
No, I get it.
How many coaches have won a college title and an NFL title? Did Jimmy Johnson do it? With Miami and Dallas? Had to have. Did Switzer do it?
I think Switzer did it. I'm trying to think, did Miami win the championship with Jimmy, or were they just a team that everybody paid attention to?
Jimmy did?
Mm-hmm. And Switzer did, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's it?
Well, I mean, Pete Carroll.
And Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
Did you see where Pete Carroll's next chapter will be?
No.
They're thinking the Jets.
Perfect. He already coached there. Yeah. They ran him out of town. Be a great hire for the Jets. Oh, my God.
Sir,
that would be a great hire.
I'm going to have to kick you out. I don't want to do that because I'm a nice guy.
You know how old Pete Carroll is?
77. 78.
Is he that old? I thought early 70s, but, I mean, he looks like he's about 30.
He should run for office. Fact or fiction section still here in the book fair. Mike McDaniel or Nick Sirianni will win a Coach of the Year award in their career.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's fiction.
For both?
Yeah.
That's fact. This award sucks. Yeah, so they'll win.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt, the expectation doesn't have to be a lot, and that's perfect for them.
Max said yesterday that we have to treat the awards like we treat the guy in New York. We no longer talk about them because they're irrelevant.
Or the team in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
Gotta do that, too.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a good fairy tale section. Sometimes you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the team not named Buffalo, Kansas City, Detroit, or Philly? That could win it all in a fairy tale ending.
Detroit or Kansas City?
You can't name those.
Oh, because I don't believe any other team is.
This guy has no fairy tale belief.
He can't do it. Can't do the fairy tales.
I don't believe in fairy tales.
Once upon a time, Bobby.
Yeah. But if you want me to pick a team.
I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do except lower your voice.
Yeah, I'm not going to lower my voice.
It's tough.
Baltimore? Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's okay. Baltimore. That's the only team. That's it.
I mean, isn't that like everybody thinks this league is so great and it's all even and blah, blah, blah. Baseball has more parity than the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
By far. And it's not even close. But yet the NFL has sold hope, has sold lies, has sold information of parity in this league. There's no parity in the NFL. It's the same teams all the time.
Is it Green Bay behind Baltimore?
Eh.
I mean, maybe it is Pittsburgh, but it's just a lot of AFC.
Okay, we got a little bit of time at the library being open.
Okay, thank you.
Which team not named Kansas City out of those do you think could have
Buffalo?
Buffalo, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Slam the book down and get rid of it?
Yep.
Over Detroit.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, Bob mentioned it earlier. This is a quarterback league. Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in the league, and it's not even close.
Right. Who's the better coach, McDermott or Campbell?
Campbell.
I think Campbell.
I think more people believe, and I think that's something you need in a coach. I think his team believes more in him. I think there's not a lot of doubt in Buffalo, but I think there's some doubt. Library is officially closed. Back to normal voices. But no, I think that question is, thank you very much for your purchases. We raised $41.84 on our total today. Woo-hoo. At the book fair. We'll be back next Tuesday with that library edition of the Likens Library. But I'm with you. I think those are two good coaches, but I mean, McDermott said some like questionable comparisons, like like with 9/11 or something like that.
Yeah, that was like, years ago he did. That was stupid. Yeah,
and like Campbell hasn't. I know the resume is a little bit shorter, but like, dude, I mean, I don't even know Dan Campbell, and I'd run through a wall.
Yeah, like that's, yeah.
And like with McDermott, I'd be like, I'm gonna need some time. I'm gonna need some time to like figure this guy out.
Right. Sean McDermott,
Campbell, like that. Like if you went to war tomorrow, you want McDermott next to you, you want Dan Campbell next to
you. Oh, you want Dan Campbell next to you. But I mean, if I went to the bathroom, I'd rather have Dan Campbell next to me too. Like that's the type of guy he is. He's just that, like, you want Dan Campbell around all the time.
And he's a confidence booster.
Yeah, like he makes you feel good. And I think that's important, in, especially this late in the season now, you know, keeping everybody happy, keeping everybody positive, keeping everybody buying in. Like, Dan Campbell's, I like the guy. I do.
I mean, he's all in on Mac. I mean, they're going to Mac's birthday. Dan Campbell's taking him to Applebee's. So, I mean, that's like a win-win.
Yeah,
Mac just sits there the whole time like, what's his name? Randy Quaid in Vegas Vacation. We're sitting there with Wayne Newton at the dinner table. That'd be Mac and Dan Campbell at Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
I'd die for you.
He's trying to get me to be a
you
Lions
You said Mac
fan.
Or Binkley?
Well, both.
Listen here, Bob.
Yeah, little Binkley.
Yeah, little Bink over there.
Yeah.
If Dan Campbell told you to eat 17 buffalo boneless wings from Applebee's in one mouthful, you're going to do it.
One
right?
mouthful. Yeah. I don't know if I could do that, but I think I could definitely handle 17 boneless.
Yeah, I don't think 17 is a lot for me or you, but maybe for Mac, he is little Bink.
Yeah, that may be a lot.
Is 17 boneless wings a lot
for
you?
That feels like a lot for
me. It does. What about bone-in wings?
Could you
17
eat 20 nuggets from McDonald's?
Oh, God, back in the day,
sure.
Topping off large. With a Whopper, or not Whopper, Big Mac, Coke, and fries.
Yeah. Don't get me there, guys.
20 McNuggets used to be an appetizer.
Mm. You used to be able to get 3 cookies for $1, too, in that warm brown bag.
You used to be able to get a footlong for $5, too.
Back in my day.
All these places now have these $5 meal deals, huh?
They're coming around.
Interesting.
Coming around.
Huh, I wonder how that works.
Well, things got tough, and today it's Tuesday, so on the other side, we do our Tough Tuesdays here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5, The Fan.
Diving right back into it here to finish the 6 o'clock hour out on your Tuesday morning. I'm sure a lot of people have checked out already this week. I assume 3 o'clock today is the official checkout day and time for Thanksgiving. Would assume. What time is it? I don't know. Time for me to get my ass out of here is what you'll hear today from a lot of people.
Well, and those who are working tomorrow are going to be like us, like, yeah, 10 a.m., I'm out.
10?
9:58.
8 o'clock, I'm handing you the show and letting you just do this thing, and I'm out.
That's fine. Go for it.
No way.
Oh, all right.
We go down together on this ship. Right.
On what?
On this ship.
Oh.
Come on now. Professional over here. I haven't cussed on the radio.
In about a week?
Yeah. Somebody says,
today.
What is the late return fee at the library? Dusky quietly regales you with his golf stories.
That's good.
That could be one way to do it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Would you rather hear about somebody's golf game, their bets, or their fantasy team, or their softball team?
Bets for sure, because it's either heartbreak or success. There's really no other way.
Yeah, we can get to the point, too. The golf could go on for a while. Yeah, fantasy.
And then I got to hole four, and you're like, geez, Christmas, dude.
Who cares,
just
Bruce.
Give me the score and the biggest highlight.
Exactly.
People do not care about your golf game, your tennis game, any of your games, quite honestly. No. They really don't. I mean, I was playing tennis. Nobody cares, man.
To be fair, nobody cares about your life.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. I mean, ultimately, that's what it boils down to. Nobody cares.
Tony Romo in studio today, guys.
Yeah.
Tuesday, 6:50, Tough Tuesdays. I can start this one out. I think the toughest Tuesday goes to those two tackles that play the offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs. Tough Tuesday, man.
Agreed.
Tough Tuesday. Team's pissed. They didn't get the win they wanted to. Offensive line, the interior linemen are now like, dude, what are we doing here? Like, I need a little bit of help. You're making me look like a jackass, dude. Said Creed Humphrey. Said Joe Tooney. Said Trey Smith. I'm pretty sure all three with penalties on Sunday. Maybe not Creed, but I know Tooney and
did
I know Trey
Creed
Smith.
You're right about that. That's interesting. All
when
those
do you
guys,
ever see them get penalties?
Yeah, like, when they're pissed.
If anybody, it's normally like Trey Smith.
After a play, get mad.
Yeah.
Another tough Tuesday.
Not false starting because he's nervous about the guy next to him. Right. That's what happened on Sunday.
Well, exactly.
And then Tooney's like, well, I got to hold this guy because I'm blocking this guy.
Exactly.
But that goes back to the do your job.
Yeah,
and when somebody that you work with isn't doing your job and you try to pick up the slack for them, your job suffers. So you can't worry about the jackass at work. You got to do your job. And that's the way the rest of this offensive line needs to approach it. Can't worry about the left tackle or the right tackle. I got to do my job.
Yeah. It's like Buddy the Elf can only do like four Etch-A-Sketches where everybody else is doing like 75. It's like, yeah, I got to pick up the slack for Buddy over here. C.J. Stroud, tough Tuesday. Tough sophomore year. We talked about it on Monday, I believe. You know, Houston, they're a team with a lot of promise this year. A lot of people bought in, like, can't wait for that December game against the Chiefs. Now that game is, we'll see.
Yeah.
They're now in that mold. They're not, they didn't really rise up this year with everything out. Quentin Johnson, tough Tuesday, man. You looked like Kadarius Toney last night.
Terrible.
Dude, that guy looked, he had almost like in that Detroit game or the first game of the year with Kadarius Toney. There was a play where he was on the outside, Herbert threw a nice spiral to him, literally drops it, would have ran for like probably 30, 35 yards after the catch. And then another crucial play, throws it right into his hands, drops it. I mean, perfect throw, dropped it. Quentin Johnson having a tough Tuesday. And Kyler Murray, man, threw for 285, but you threw for negative 40 on an interception to the house and the biggest game of your season against one of your division rivalries that you just didn't really show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stoked to play for a tough Tuesday for Kyler Murray, who's somebody over here who's been advocating for him to be in the MVP conversation, in the, hey, maybe we were a little too harsh on Kyler Murray, but today is a tough Tuesday because you were not that good and you lost to a team in your division that you really need to win to solidify yourself as the number one seed in the NFC West, which is garbage.
Yeah, that's the difference between being, you know, a legit quarterback and just another guy. That's why 10 teams are looking at Daniel Jones today. Say that out loud again. He turned down the Raiders, I'm told, to go and explore the free agent market. He didn't want to go to the Raiders. And I told the person who said that to me, I go, would you want to go? I'd rather have rabies than play for the Raiders at this point in time. And if you're Daniel Jones, you've been on such bad teams for so long, why not go if you get an opportunity to back somebody up and have a taste of success? But it shows you where the quarterbacking is in this league right now, that Daniel Jones allegedly has 10 suitors. It's not a tough Tuesday for him. That's a great Tuesday for Daniel Jones, right?
Best Tuesday he's had in a minute, probably.
Yeah. Best Tuesday, he'd be like, yeah, nobody wants me, and I got paid to get out of New York.
Yeah.
That's the, actually, he's like, 10 phone calls, like, damn it, dude.
Yeah, oh my
gosh. I thought maybe two.
Yeah, all these teams want me. I get to pick where I want to go now.
Kansas City, please have Kansas City call.
Daniel Jones should be saying that, 100%. Yeah. Come here and rehab your career under Andy Reid, be next year's Carson Wentz, you know, type
of
guy.
No. Come here with Andy Reid and become next year's Taysom Hill with the Kansas City Chiefs.
He could do, I don't know that Daniel, you saw Daniel Jones run.
Yeah.
He falls.
That's true.
Stays in bounds, though.
His greatest play is falling.
Daniel
Jones
in
a nutshell. Nobody around. Oh, he went down. Like that. If that sums up a career, I mean, tell me what does. Who do you want to go with, Mac? I'll let you go next here.
I would say Man, I wasn't really prepared here. Sorry.
Okay,
guys.
So I'll go then. That's fine. I'm going to start with Brian Daboll, and it kind of leads into Malik Nabers. We'll hear from him here in a second, calling everybody and their brother out after the game. You got a rookie wide receiver that's saying you played soft. You got a defensive tackle that's saying on your team that you played soft. That's on coaching, man. And if I'm Brian Daboll right now, I'm probably getting boxes at UPS.
Go out there first, second quarter. Don't get the ball. Start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Take out your gum.
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Dave about that. Talk to Dave.
Did you say something to the coaches at halftime?
I mean, they know. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well, he really is smacking
he
that
is
gun.
I mean, that
My
is that.
God,
yeah.
That's in the front two teeth.
I mean, he is just chomping. It must chomping
be,
on the gum.
It must be juicy.
So, yeah, so because of that, Brian Daboll now, like if you're the owner of the franchise, you're like, I may keep the guy if the players are bought in. Sure doesn't sound like they're bought in. He's on the hot seat this week, having a tough Tuesday. The Raiders are having a tough Tuesday. Jeez. They don't know who their quarterback is going to be on Friday for this game against the Chiefs, and then Daniel Jones rejected them. So you're the Raiders. You're having a tough Tuesday. And I'm going to throw this one out there just for motivation standpoint. Chris Jones, man. Where you been the last 7 weeks?
Pressure.
Yep.
What Love would it. You know about pressure? Ace Ventura, ever seen it?
Nope. We'll add it to the list.
Okay.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
We know.
I know. Never heard of him.
My daughter, we're talking about that movie last night, and my daughter says, you sound so old. I said, what do you mean? Automobiles? I'm like, that's the name of the movie. What do you want me to call it? Planes, the L, and a car?
Planes, Trains, and Cars?
I mean, like, automobiles.
That movie, I'll tell you this. You know how if you watch The Office, you have those moments where you're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Dude, that movie for, like, 30 straight minutes is just on the edge of your seat cringe.
Well, I mean, Steve Martin's really good at that.
So. He's really good. There's a scene where he drops 16 F-bombs in 30 seconds.
I said it in the group yesterday.
Yeah.
I need the keys to an effing car right effing now. You're messing with the wrong guy.
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, dude, John Candy, perfect role. The hotel scene's the one that gets you the cringes. God. And then when you watch that scene, think of Bob. And what Bob would do in that scene.
Great, yes.
I would be Steve Martin. I would
lose. Of course. Yeah. And I know who the other guy is.
Yo.
Did you ever watch Due Date with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah, I never did. Yes, I did watch that.
They essentially did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but in a modern era.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's essentially the same movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not during a holiday of, like, Thanksgiving.
It's
a very, very, very good movie.
It is. It's a great John Hughes type of movie.
Due Date
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
You'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll try
and
watch it this weekend.
Yeah, you should.
With the fam.
You'll watch it. You'll see it. And then by the end, you'll be like, why am I crying?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It is such a great John Hughes movie, and it's perfect for this time of the year. 37 years old. It's as old as Dusty is right now. And then people will tell you, it's not a good movie. Yes, it is. It's an all-time classic.
Do you have the receipt? No, I threw it away. Then you're blank. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to go down this week of what is the NFL. Kurt Warner joins our rundown, not the phones, but he just joins our rundown as somebody I didn't think we would ever say his name again in relevancy to this season, but he's right. Coming up on the other side, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.